Amen, amen. How great is our God. Giving all praises to God, to our deacons, trustees, officers, and members of Ebenezer, to our guests, family, and friends. We thank God, amen, for this another privilege and opportunity to worship his holy and righteous name. For he is truly worthy to be praised. We thank God for voices of praise this morning. Amen. Isaac let me know that he had to be away, but we thank God for Wolfgang as well as Dr. Rose this morning. Amen. We're definitely appreciative of Walter's leadership. Amen. His singing is just the tip of the iceberg. Amen. For this morning, we would like to kind of end where we began. We began this month in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we would like to end in 1 Samuel chapter 1. On first Sunday, we did verses 1 through 9, but this morning, we would like to call your attention beginning at verse 9 to the end of the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken unto now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate. Her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. We read into your hearing 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 22. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. This morning, we simply want to tag this text, Hannah Rose 2.0. Amen. Hannah Rose 2.0. For those of us or those of you that wasn't here with us on first Sunday, let me give you a quick review. In chapter 1, we're introduced to Hannah's story. Hannah is a faithful woman of God, kept herself till she was married the love of her life, Elkanah. They started their lives together, but there was a parasite in paradise. There was a thorn in the flesh. Hannah and Elkanah had everything except one thing. Hannah was barren. Hannah had no children. And you know, this discouraged. It seems as if God had forgotten her. God had moved on without her. That God had plans that did not include her. That every year in and year out, she was reminded that she was outside of the plan of God because she had no children. Elkanah eventually had to have that conversation with her and say, listen, I'm going to have to bring in a second wife. And the second wife's responsibility would be to bear children. You will still be my love of my life. You will still be my wife. You will still be my number one. But time has come. And he took a second wife, Peninnah. I never can pronounce her name because I don't like her. Penny. Penny would always provoke Hannah. Every time Penny would come in the room, she would always have baby questions for Hannah. Hannah, did you see my diaper bag? Hannah, do you see the bottles? Hannah, did you hear the baby crying? Hannah, did you see this? Did you see? Every day it just irritated her to no end, year in and year out. And Penny kept having babies. It wasn't that she just had one. She kept having babies. Every time you turned around, she was barefooted and pregnant. And Hannah has barren and had no child. And this got to her, this bad down on her, became such a heavy weight on her that the scripture tells us in verse 9, then Hannah rose. This was Hannah at her worst. This was Hannah at her lowest. This is Hannah feeling outside of the promises of God. But the King James Version says, so Hannah rose. The New Living Translation says, Hannah got up. The NIV said, Hannah stood up. Hannah rose. She rose to her feet. And we tried to convince you on first Sunday that it was hope that got her to her feet. And many people sleep on hope. You know, it's the middle child of God, faith, hope, and love. So most people sleep on the middle child. And hope is something that we ought to hold on to. Hannah had hope, an undying fire that the future would be better, a belief that God did not forget her, that God knew where she was and what condition she was in. She had hope. And many people, we think of hope as blind optimism, just in the same category of crossing your fingers and throwing coins into a wishing well. But hope is confident expectation in the promises of God. My hope is in God, that God is able to turn situations around. That the way things are is not the way they have to be, not because of who I am, but because of God. That God has power to raise up nations, and God has power to bring them down. God has the ability to change an economy just by blowing in the wind. God can turn a city upside down by just sending in more rain than they prepared for. God is able to move, and our hope is in God. You know, the Underground Railroad wasn't fueled by coals. The Underground Railroad wasn't fueled by electricity. It wasn't fueled by gas. No, it was fueled by hope. People believing in a better life and a better day. Martin Luther King had to wrestle with this concept of hope with the rise of the Black Power movement. It was coming into conflict with his peaceful, nonviolent protest. And Martin had to come and answer. He said, yeah, it's moved by hatred, your hatred for the system, your hatred for the oppressor, your hatred for your own circumstances and situations. He said, but the problem with hate is that it burns hot, but it don't burn long. See, the problem with hate is your fuel will run out before your problem gets solved. See, you'll let out some steam, but you didn't fix nothing. Most times you made things worse. But hope burns long and hope burns consistently. He said it don't go out. And don't you know that hope burns eternally? You better not, you know, work on your portfolio. Work on your resume, young man. Work on your skills. Work on your talent. But I want you to also work on your faith, your hope, and your love. Because these three abide forever. We will forever relate with God by faith. We will forever have hope in a brighter future. And we forever will have love. Hope. Hope got Hannah to her feet. Martin Luther King once said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Hope burns eternal. So once hope got Hannah to her feet, once Hannah rose, once Hannah stood up, once Hannah got up, Hannah went to the house of the Lord. You know, Hannah is one of the only few women in the Old Testament who is said to go to the house of the Lord. I'm sure others that went, Eli talked of some that was in the temple and came in some suspicious circumstances. But Hannah is mentioned as going to the house of the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, I don't care how you get here. All I care is that you get here. Get here the best way you can. Oh, yeah, you got to come to the house of the Lord. Something miraculously happened in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, hymns are being sung. In the house of the Lord, praise is being given. In the house of the Lord, prayers are being prayed. Sermons are being preached. The house of the Lord is where the people of God gather together in order to gain strength. I'm stronger at 12 o'clock on Sunday than I'm in any other time of the week. Why? Because I came into this place, gathered in this place with the people of God, and renew my strength. Yeah, I don't care here. Get here on a scooter. Get here on Uber. Have nobody drive you here. You can get here with an automated car. I don't care how you get here. You can get here online. You can get here virtually. Just get here faithfully and regularly. Get here. There is power in the house. There's power in the house of the Lord. See, I'd rather have a virtual member than a CEO member. Yes, sir, the Christian Easter only type of member. They only show up once or twice a year. No, regularly, faithfully, get here. It'll change your life. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your perspective. You won't be so grumpy on Monday morning. You won't be so mean-hearted on Monday morning. You'll be running in the office. You'll make the coffee. I used to stand around the coffee, wait on folk to ask me how was my weekend. That lasted about a month, then they figured me out. Nobody will fool with me. Just, they'll show up at the coffee pot on Monday morning and they'll say, how was your weekend? I'll say, I was at church. And the preacher preached and the choir sang. It's here that the believers get their strength. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You can go anywhere. You can pray anywhere. You can sing anywhere. You can praise anywhere. And God can hear you and listen to your prayer. But there ain't no stained glass windows everywhere. There ain't no pews everywhere. There ain't pulpits everywhere. There ain't choirs and organs and pianos everywhere. It's here. Get here. I don't care how you get here. Carpool, share a ride, hitchhike, catch the bus. Just get here. There's something that happens when you get here. See, here is like a mixer. And God throws in ingredients. And in the worship service, those ingredients create a miracle. It's like a blender for a blessing. It is where God is able to put pieces together. It's in the house of the Lord. Hannah, Hope got her on her feet. Hope got her to leave the table and go to the house of the Lord. Listen, Hannah only had once a year opportunity to go to the house of the Lord. She could only go once a year. And we have an opportunity weekly. That's why we take advantage. That's why we don't think of it. We think I'll get back to it next week. I'll get back to it next month. I'll wait till all my bills are paid and got the car I want, the house I want. I got all the clothes I want. Then I'll go. That's how we act. We treat it nonchalant because we have the opportunity weekly. But take advantage of that opportunity. You got to take advantage of the chances that you have to come and lay your burdens down to the Lord. Hannah took advantage of her opportunity to go to the house of the Lord. She rose from the table and went to the house of the Lord. Now hope is no strategy. I read that in a book. Hope is not a strategy. The reason is a belief and a confidence in God. But hope is a fuel for any strategy. You can't have a strategy without hope. Without hope, your strategy is going to fail. But strategy or hope was not a strategy. Her plan was to go to the house of the Lord and pray. Now, I got to tell you, that's a mighty good plan. That's a mighty good strategy. All of your plans should include prayer. See, too many, we think we're going to do what we want to do, and then at the end, we think God will just wave his hand over and bless our mess. Now, God want to be in the ingredients. God want to go to the store with you. God want to bring them to the car. God want to get them, take them out the car. God want to put them on the shelf, put them in the cabinet. God want to watch you put it in the skillet. God want to see what temperature turn it on. You can't wait till you cook the meal then ask God to bless it. No, you got to ask God to bless it when you're getting the ingredients together. Prayer invites God into our situation. What prayer does is give God the username and password into our life. God ain't going to hack your life. God ain't going to break into your life. You got to surrender your username and password in prayer. And when we surrender it to God, that says God has permission to operate in all those areas in our lives. Now, I know there's some people that they quick to give God their problems, but they are slow to give God his praise. When God does something for you, you owe him a praise. You don't just come here Sunday after Sunday with a prayer report, with a prayer request. At some point, you got to give a praise report. At some point, you got to say, the Lord done kept me, the Lord done blessed me. And brought me a mighty long way. Have you prayed so hard till somebody thought you were drunk? Have you prayed so hard where you was on the side of your bed praying and then woke up the next morning and you still on the side of your bed? You know, James used to pray so hard that they called him camel knees. It messed up his knees. He prayed so hard and so long. The scripture tells us that we are to always pray. Have you noticed when we came in this session, when we came in this worship, that we pray? We pray in the invocation. We pray for the pastoral prayer. We pray over the offering. We pray. Now, we pray more in this time together than some of you have prayed all week. Come on now, John. Let's be honest. Some of us don't even pray over our food no more. We buy food from McDonald's and just eating it. Like, oh my God. Prayer is taking our concerns to the Lord. Prayer changes things. You know, when I was young, I used to think Daniel prayed and God changed Daniel. Now, this is bad theology. I'm going to tell y'all this up front. This is when I was a young man, I didn't know no better. I had to learn this. I thought God had changed Daniel and did nothing with the lions. I thought that Daniel didn't look like food anymore. Daniel looked like a log to the lion. But then I went and read the scripture. When I read the scripture, Daniel still smelt like Daniel. Daniel still looked like Daniel. But what God did was shut the lion's mouth. They could smell him, but they couldn't open their mouth. They could see him, but they couldn't open their mouth. They could want him all they wanted, but their tongues wouldn't come out of the roof of their mouth. God changes things, and through prayer, we give God access to do whatever. I used to try to tell God, do this, do that, do this, do that. And then I thought, I got a wife and some babies. I said, Lord, whatever. Whatever you do, I will be satisfied. Hannah prayed so hard that Eli thought that she was drunk. And listen to her prayer. Lord, remember me and not forget me. Multiple times she considered herself the maid servant. She said, Lord, don't forget. And you can feel forgotten at times. Feel as if God done moved on, that God is on to something else, that God done helped you once before and that's enough for him. He done moved on to help somebody else. Some people now think God done went from the flood victims and now God done moved on to the next tragedy, the next event. Wherever Red Cross is, that's where God will be. But I come by today to tell you, you can pray. And if God know you, he can remember you. If God know you, he will not forget you. God has not forgotten you. God has not walked off from you. God knows exactly who you are. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. That got me to thinking right there. Oh, what needless pains we bear. I said, man, wait a minute. Slow down. You mean to tell me there's some pains I can avoid? There's some pain that are needless. Now, there's some that are needful. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to experience it. It's going to happen for you like it happened for everybody else. But there's some needless pains. You know, I remember one time I was in the office and my boss had called me in and, you know, I've always been a minister ever since God called me, but I had to have some side hustles. And so my side hustle was working for the state. That was my side hustle. That was my grind on the side. And I treated it as such, you know, and when they are paying you 40 hours a week in full-time salary benefit, they kind of expect that from you. And so she called me in the office and the Lord says, keep your mouth shut. Just pray. You just pray. And I'm just sitting there praying, and she reading me the riot act. Boy, she called me everything but a child of God. If she could have cussed, I think she would have. She was talking about every bad deed, what time I got in the office, what time I went to lunch, what time I got back from lunch, how many I did this and how many I done that. Every time I come in your office, you got a Bible open and a stack of papers sitting on the side. I can't get you to do anything. She was reading me the riot act. And the Lord shut, and I kept thinking, the Lord gave me this job. He'll give me another one. That's what I wanted to say. But the Lord said, no, don't say that. Hey, I didn't tell you that. Don't be making no promises on me. You better keep that job. And so I kept my mouth shut. And I just kept looking at him, praying in my head, thinking, Lord, I need this job. I got a wife and kids. I need this job. Help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't let her. I'll give up 10%. I'll come in every day. I start thinking all these thoughts. And then all of a sudden she said, but your numbers are better than anybody else's. You're almost doubling everybody else's numbers. And because of that, we're going to give you a merit raise. I'm sitting there like, what? 5 minutes ago, I thought I was about to get fired. But now I'm walking out of here with a merit raise. And you know what I did. I went and found a believer with an office. With a lock on the door, closed the door, threw up my hands, said, Lord, I want to thank you for making a way out of no way. If I would have did what I wanted to do, I'd be packing my bag. I'd be packing my books and putting my stuff in there and fussing under my breath. But instead, through prayer, God moved it to a praise. Hannah took her concern to the Lord in prayer. But in the prayer, Hannah vowed a vow, an interesting vow, a unique vow. And I got to tell you this, God loves uniqueness. It shows creativity. See, God don't like doing the same thing that he did for everybody else. I know we like to say that what God has done for others, he'll do the same for you. I don't know about that. It just don't pan out in scripture. When you look in scripture, you see him doing unique and special and creative blessing over and over and over again. It's more likely that he's going to give you a new blessing than he give you a blessing from somebody else. It's more likely that God is going to give you a customized, tailor-made blessing that perfectly suits your situation and need. That's more likely than God going to give you off the rack blessing. And Hannah requests, her vow was unique. What Hannah says to the Lord is, if you give me a son, I will give him right back. Now that's odd, it's strange, it's new, because ever since Abraham, God has forbidden the children of Israel to offer child sacrifices. But all of the neighboring nations still did. The Philistines still did, the Moabites still did. That's what set Israel apart, was that they did not offer child sacrifice. But Hannah hacked heaven. Hannah hacked heaven when Hannah said, I will offer my son, but he'll be a living sacrifice. And God said, hold up, wait a minute. I haven't revealed that yet, because I'm going to offer my son as a living sacrifice. How is this woman in the Old Testament talking about offering up her son as a living sacrifice? What do you think God is going to do? Spoiler alert, the book is named after her child. Why? Because she offered them to the Lord. So often we want our children to find the Lord. You know, some people, they don't raise them up in church. They say, I don't want to make that choice for them. When they get old, let them choose for themselves. Well, that's foolish. That's bad parenting. It is. How are they going to make a choice if you don't give them a choice? If you don't give them an option, how are they going to make a choice? See, my parents said, this is the way we do it, and you can do it the way other folk do it, but this is the way we do it. It was my choice. Do I want to do it the way my family does it, or do I want to do it the way other people do it? Hannah made a vow, and she said, I'm going to give my son to the Lord. And Hannah knew. She didn't need Samuel at the house. She had Elkanah and Piana and Penny and all her kids running around there. She didn't need to bring Samuel into all that drama and all that mess. But Samuel will give her honor back at the house. He will give her back her position back at the house. Now she can tell Penny what to do. Now she can tell Penny where to go. Now she can tell her where to shove it. And so now Hannah takes this vow to the Lord. Lord, if you give me a man child, I will give it back to you. I wonder if Hannah thought about her Old Testament sisters. I wonder if she thought about Sarah, Abraham's wife, who was initially barren but eventually gave birth to Isaac. I wonder if she thought about Rebecca, who gave birth to Jacob and Esau. Rachel, who was barren, but eventually gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin. I wonder if she thought about the wife of Manah, who gave birth to Samson, the judge of Israel with renowned strength. Hannah knew that God still had it in his repertoire to turn around a barren situation. But what she didn't do was ask for somebody else's blessing. She asked for her own blessing. Lord, if you give him to me, I will give him right back to you. Now, Hannah gets up, she leaves, she finishes that prayer, and Eli thinks that she's drunk. She got to convince the man of God at the temple that she wasn't drunk. He said, go thy way. God had heard your prayer. Now, I think about Hannah when she return back to that table. You know, at the table, her head was down at the table. She was despondent and sad. at the table she was put down. But now Hannah comes back with a head high. She come back with a certain glow. And you know what Elkanah said, the whole time she was gone, Penny kept telling Elkanah, you have to talk to her. You're going to have a talk with her. You're going to have to tell her about her place. Soon as she get back, you need to tell her how all this is going to be set up. But when Hannah came back, full of glow, full of hope, and Elkanah saw the love of his life, he said, how you doing, sweetheart? And she said, I'm all right, baby. She said, he said, I'm going to have to talk to you. That's all right. Come talk to me tonight. Yeah, you come talk to me tonight. And 9 months later, Samuel was born. And 3 months later, Elkanah went to offer his sacrifice. And Hannah said that she's not going until the boy is weaned. Hannah, hope, got her on her feet. She went and prayed and made a vow, and the Lord remembered her. What a story for each and every one of us. All of us may not turn out to be a Samuel, but all of us can be a Hannah. A Hannah in the moment of despair, a moment of being left out and shut out of God's plan. Hannah made a vow, and God honored her vow, and Samuel became the last judge and the first prophet. Don't you know Hannah's boy anointed the first two kings of Israel? It was Hannah's boy who was the tutor for King David. It was Hannah's boy that poured the anointing on David when he was a little boy. It was Hannah's boy that had to go stand up to King Saul and tell King Saul what thus says the Lord. It was because Hannah rose. She rose with hope, went to the Lord with hope, and came back with nothing but hope until God answered her prayers. And so I want to leave you with the words of Jesse Jackson. That just simply, keep hope alive. Hannah Rose 2.0. May God bless you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. We want to invite somebody here today if the Lord has pricked your heart to come to the Lord. And if you're watching us online, please put a comment. And somebody from Ebenezer will reach out to you. We don't want this game to go by. You don't have to leave this month unsaved. Will you come? And if you need a church home, we invite you to Ebenezer. It's a wonderful place to go to heaven from. A praying church, a singing church. Will you come? As the ushers and deacons come, we invite you to come. Come as you are from where you are.
Lost it all.
Jack, may the Lord have a blessing on your soul. Amen.